you know, a man that I knew is not any longer. He's gone out into eternity. And, you know, you don't know when your time is up. And this is the time that we have to do what, you know, we have to be busy about the Master's work, doing the things that God's asked us to do. Praise God. Well, I hope you have your Bibles tonight.
Yes,
I'm a, you know, man of God's Word. I love God's Word, and
yes.
That's. I know we did a lot of scriptures last week. You know, when I originally got this from the Lord, I didn't think I knew there was a lot of scriptures about the heart. But you know, I just been real relaxed about it. I just trust in God to put it all together in the right way. And ultimately, that's what it has to be anyway. We study to show ourselves approved and to, you know, minister. But ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that puts it all together. And so, last week, we had quite a few things, and I'm just going to do a quick recap here. But I just want to thank the Holy Spirit in advance for what He's doing. Holy Spirit, thank You for coming into our midst and opening the mind of our understanding to receive the good Word of the Lord. Father, I thank You for what You're going to accomplish inside of us to make us into the image of Christ, to do a work on our heart. Thank You, Father God, that You're always watching over our hearts and You're shaping our hearts and forming our hearts to be more like Christ. Thank You for what You're accomplishing tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise be unto God. I want to remind you right away that the heart is the seat or the place of the emotions, your character, your intellect, and the will. The heart reflects where our affections lie. I'll say that once more. The heart reflects where our affections lie. Glory to God. In Proverbs chapter, you don't have to turn to it, but in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 19, it says, "As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man."
That's good.
Glory to God.
That's really good.
Hallelujah. Matthew 5:8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, I'm using that verse every week. And, you know, the challenge for us is to understand about what it is to have a pure heart. And, you know, I believe that the reason the Lord's given us these lessons right now at this season in this church is because He wants purity in the church. And, you know, purity in the church, the body, really means that we have to have purity in our own lives and individually. And so this is what the Holy Spirit is, I believe, trying to accomplish here at this point. You know, we want to draw closer to God. We want to be able to come into His presence and His fullness and see the Shekinah glory of God in our lives and in our midst. And we want to see mighty workings of the Spirit. And we can and we will. But part of that ingredient is drawing close in your heart to God, having a better understanding of it, and then walking in it. Okay, let me just give you a little recap. We talked about the fact, and Jesus confirmed this. We used Deuteronomy chapter 6 last week when we talked about the greatest commandment. And Jesus Himself said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind and your strength. And to love, of course, the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, He got that from the Old Testament. He got that out of Deuteronomy where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Shall be in your heart. And then we talked about how important it is to listen to God and to obey His commandments, to choose God above all other things. And we talked about the circumcision of the heart last week. We talked about how when you get a regenerated heart, when you come to Christ and you accept Christ into your life, that the Holy Spirit does a circumcision of the heart. He changes your heart so that your heart goes from being a stony heart to being a heart that's a heart of flesh, a heart that God can use, a heart that's that is drawn towards Him. We talked about that last week. We talked about a number of scriptures last week from the Old Testament, from the Psalms, the Proverbs, from the New Testament, from the book of Revelations. where the Lord says over and over again that he looks at your heart, that he tests the hearts of his people. He tests their hearts. He tests their minds. We talked about the fact that Jesus himself said in the book of Revelations that he himself will test your mind and your heart. God gives us in Jeremiah, it says God gives us a heart to know him. And then we talked about in Hebrews, it says that the heart is established by grace. And then, you know, we said that a sound heart is the life of the flesh. That's in Proverbs. And we said that the ways of a man are always before the Lord. Proverbs tells us that. God knows the hearts of all men. And then, you know, we talked about the transformation that goes on when the Holy Spirit does that change within a person. But there has to be that attitude of repentance. That has to be a repentant heart before God. And we talked about in Romans how it says that if you shall confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so, you know, we see that it's important that the heart is right before God, that there's an attitude within the heart that humbles itself before a God that's holy and a God that would want to have an intimate fellowship with us. Jesus said, you know, where your treasure is, there's where your heart's going to be. And then I ended everything last week by saying to you that I believe one of the important principles from the Word of God is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all things would be added unto you. And that's what we did last week. That was our start. But there's much, much more. And tonight we're going to look at some things that have to do with having a whole heart. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about having a whole heart. And so there's some ingredients to go into the making of a pure heart. But we're going to talk about a whole heart. Now, you know, I'm probably going to take one Wednesday night and talk about an unregenerated heart. But we're not going to do that tonight. I just felt led that God wanted us to go in this direction tonight, to talk about a whole heart. In Psalms chapter 9, you don't have to turn to it, but in Psalm chapter 9, verse 1a, it says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. We need to be talking about God's goodness. Amen. We need to proclaim that God is a good God. Amen. We need to know that in our hearts. Yes. We need to know that God is a good God. Amen. And we need to be telling other people that yeah. He is a good God. We need to talk about it. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, it says, you will find the Lord your God if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. It talks, you know, talking about seeking him, okay? That's through prayer and meditation is really how we seek God, through prayer and meditation. We seek him through prayer and meditation. And with all your heart, that's wholeheartedly. With all your heart is wholeheartedly. So you got to make an effort. When you talk about something that you're doing wholeheartedly, you make an effort.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's an effort. And it's an effort that you do gladly because you love God.
Amen.
And you care about his kingdom and you care about his word and you care about his ways and you care about his purposes and plans. And you're trying to do your part as a good steward of the things that God has given you to do.
Amen.
And Psalm 111, verse 1 says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. And so that's one of the things that I think about a lot lately because, you know, we're having some amazing services here at this church. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to that. I come in and I look forward to praising God and being more open with myself towards God. And, you know, I try to see myself in a different way and I try not to focus on what other things people think or what they, you know, what they're focusing on, because I'm trying to keep my focus on the Lord.
Amen.
And that's not always an easy thing to do. But, you know, this is why Pastor and I have talked about, you know, the preparation of the heart. I mean, preparing yourself before you come to church,
yeah.
Spending time, you know, in the scriptures, or spending time in prayer, or spending time, you know, singing and making melody in your heart before the Lord. Put on a tape, something you really gets you going. And get into it before you come, man. Clean up your act. You know, have a little bit of a repentant time before the Lord, before you come to church and say, hey, Lord, you know, get the attitude right before you come in. You know, get the attitude right. And, you know, I'll tell you what, the more I go into these studies and the more that I come and I worship and open, the more I realize how much more I need to do those things. We've not, you know, none of us have arrived, so we're all working on it. But these are things that I need to say because we need to hear them, and I need to hear them. Incidentally, a teacher, you know, hears what he's saying, and I don't prepare everything I say, you know, ahead of time. I just do it as the Spirit leads me here. So I hear myself doing this, and I'm thinking, Spirit, you're doing a good job. Okay, turn in your scriptures to turn in the Word to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. We're going to read 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 54 through 61. Here's where Solomon was blessing the assembly of the people. We're going to read this. And so it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised, that there has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all of his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day may require, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. Now that is a tremendous prayer. A tremendous prayer. It's, you might want to just in your private devotional time go back and look at that prayer. That prayer is a tremendous prayer for the congregation of people. And his heart was, you know, had some specific things before the Lord. And I want you to look at that. Look at verse 61, the last part there where he says, Let your heart therefore be wholly devoted, complete with devotion to the Lord your God. For what reason? To walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. You might want to underline walk and keep. Walk and keep. You know, walking is an active thing. It's the act of doing something. It's the actual carrying it out. Being obedient by observing to do God's word is what he's really saying. Being obedient to observe to do God's word. And, you know, that's what his prayer was. But you notice he says up in verse 58, he's asking God himself to incline our hearts towards him. And there's a lot of scripture verses that talk about inclining our hearts towards God. And so, you know, and I think, you know, when you think about your own heart and when you think about your own way and you think about the way of man, you understand why it's important to pray, God, incline my heart towards you. Because we have a wayward heart. You know, many times our hearts are somewhere else. They're not set on the affection upon the Lord. And so we do need to pray like he prayed here. Incline our hearts towards you, God. I want you to see, turn over to Psalms 86. Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Let's look at Psalm 86, and let's look at 11 through 12 here. Psalm 86, 11 through 12. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Glory to God. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Do not be divided in your heart. You know, we can only serve one master. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, he said, either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve two masters. You have to have a heart that's united towards God. All one heart, a whole heart towards God.
Amen.
Can't be divided. And Jesus made that real clear. In Psalm 119, verse 2, it says, "Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart." And that speaks of, you know, keeping God's testimonies. It speaks of obedience. You know, in other places, God says that I would rather have obedience than sacrifice.
Yes, that's right.
And let's look at Psalm 119. Everybody turn over to Psalm 119, because you know what? I'm going to catch a bunch of scriptures in Psalm 119 and we'll do it together. Let's just turn over there. Psalm 119 is filled with issues about the heart.
Sure is.
Just filled with issues about the heart. The one that I just read to you was verse 2. Look for a minute at verse 7. Let's look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, "I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments." Now look, already we're starting to hear scriptures that are starting to lead us towards learning. Okay? And I want you to see that right away here. Because how can you have uprightness of heart? Okay? When you start to learn about God's righteous judgments, when you start to learn things out of God's teachings. You got to spend time with the Lord. You got to start learning things about the way of the Lord. You got to learn about His judgments and His testimonies. You got to learn about His statutes and His ordinances. You got to learn about His principles and His ways. You know, the Scriptures teach that we should carefully consider the Word of the Lord. That means to contemplate it, to mull it over, to bring it in, to digest it, to have impartation from the Spirit of the Lord. You know, it's good to have a person like myself anointed to teach you, or a pastor to teach you, or another man or woman that's anointed to teach you, but there should never be a substitute for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Never. You should have personal one-on-one with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be your teacher.
Yes.
And your guide.
Yes.
Absolutely. And there should never be a substitute for that. And if you haven't made that connection, you need to get right with God about it. You need to pray before you read the Scriptures. And you need to ask the Holy Spirit to open up the mind of your understanding, to give you eternal truths from the Word of God. And He will. He'll teach you one-on-one. Okay. Study to show yourselves approved. You know, in 2 Timothy 2:15, it talks about that, how we study to show ourselves approved before God. And let's look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says, "With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments." See, it's the connection between your whole heart and the commandments of God. There's a connection there. Okay? We need to remind ourselves, we need to stay in God's Word. Because that's how we maintain a whole heart before God. That's one of the ways we maintain a whole heart. Look at verse 11. It says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So, where is God's word? Where is God's word?
In our heart.
Yeah, it should be in our hearts, right?
Yes.
It's not just on the pages in a book. God's word needs to go into our hearts, right? It needs to go into our hearts. Well, listen, how did it get there? How does it get there? It gets there from hearing and from reading, okay? It's from studying the Scriptures and putting it in, digesting it, putting it in, contemplating on it. You know, even when pastor teaches on, that's one of the reasons why pastor, you know, when I went to the Dominican Republic with Pastor and Cindy, you know, one of the first things, you know, he was quick to note, because I didn't know him that well, you know, it was like a first getting to know him really good, so to speak. But right away, man, I was glad I had my notebook out taking notes. Because I expected God was going to say something through the pastor. And sure enough, one of the first things I noted about the pastor was he said, "Y'all got your notebooks out?" And I had already had mine out, but I was like, whoa, you know, this is... And the reason you do that is because you can't possibly understand everything when somebody's talking to you all the time. But if you make notes, take notes and go back and think about those things.
Yeah.
Mull it over a little bit. Spend some time after a service, you know. Have some devotional on Sunday afternoons. Don't spend all your time playing around. Have some time with God. You know, you grow that way. That helps a lot.
Come on.
Okay. Anyway, okay, that was verse 11. Let's look at, skip on down to, you know, and the other thing I want to say to you here is that, you know, the entrance of the word in your heart, if it's rich in your heart, it'll keep you from falling into sin.
Yes, it will, brother.
It'll help to keep you from
yes,
falling into sin. Sure, you still have to make a choice when temptations come. But boy, if you got the Word of God dwelling richly in you, oh man, you're fortified in the Lord. You're strong in the Lord in the power of His might. It's easier to walk away from that temptation. Listen, this week, let me tell you something. This week, I had a real temptation that came my way that I don't often have happen very often. And I find myself, I struggled with it. I mean, I walked away from it, but I struggled with it. And you know what? Later, I think the Lord was saying to me, here, you're teaching about the heart. Here's a lesson for you. You know,
yeah.
Nobody's above the temptations. Let me tell you, nobody. And, you know, remember something. It's our witness. The devil's trying to steal our witness. And listen, even if nobody else finds out about it, you got to live with it.
Yeah.
Listen, you know what? One of the things about having a tender heart, this isn't in my notes, but listen to me closely. Okay, God's given us a conscience, okay, built it into us to know right from wrong. And you got to live with yourself. And let me tell you something, what you do when you sear that conscience is you're making a change in your heart, your heart condition. It's like you're grilling your heart. You're making it, you're doing a process that takes that tenderness and makes it somewhat chums it up, makes it kind of hard towards God. Why? Because that's what sin does to us. Sin has a way of doing something to our heart. And, you know, people who habitually walk in those things, who set their affections upon things they should not, it become what we call addictions, right? Mm-hmm. You can be addicted to the Lord, well, you can be addicted to other things too.
Yeah.
And what happens is that, you know, many times we talk about the encumbrances of this life, or we talk about the weights that so easily beset us. Well, those things happen over a period of time, but they happen because we choose to ignore the leading of the Spirit, okay, or the leading of what our heart is trying to tell us. So we ignore those things, and pretty soon it gets easier and easier to walk into sin. Pretty soon you're just like the devil. You're believing a lie, and you're living in deception rather than living in truth.
Come on.
That's what ends up happening. It's just it goes downhill is what it does. It spirals downhill. And then pretty soon you need to be delivered and set free again. Now, you know, I know a lot of you are thinking, well, yeah, but man, we're Christians. Well, yeah. You're Christians, and you ought to know better. And that's why you're sitting here listening to me. Now, I'm just reminding myself and everybody else in here about these things. That's the way it needs to be. Okay, verse 32. Look at verse 32. Let's skip over to 119.32. 119.32. It says, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Enlarge my heart. God's course of study is to make room in the heart to understand Him, to follow Him, and to obey Him. His course of study. Think about it. You're in a course. You're learning. And all your life, you're going to be in a learning process. And to whatever degree you put into it will be determined what you get out of it. You know, there's a basic scripture we tell the children. If you draw close to God, He'll draw close to you. Well, guess what, folks? It isn't any different for you and me than it is for those little children. It's a basic principle from the Word of God.
Yes.
It's no secret. There's for people that walk in the miraculous power and presence of the Holy Spirit, they're paying a price somewhere. They're doing the things that they've been asked to do by the Lord. They're on their knees in prayer. They spend a lot of time in devotion before God. They've learned how to crucify the flesh daily. These are things that don't come easily, and they don't come overnight. But they come through submission, an act of the will, a perseverance, endurance, learning how to wait on God, learning how to cooperate with the work of the Spirit,
yes.
What God's trying to do with His people, learning how to cooperate. Listen, we could spend a lot of time, and we will spend time in the future weeks talking about why Israel had such a hard time. It was basically because they were very uncooperative with God. And God just, at some point along the line, God said, hey, I've had enough. You know, and that's just the simple way it was. But they could have cooperated. They could have gone along and done the things He asked them to do. And God spells it all out for us. He says, look, if you'll do these things that I'm telling you to do, there'll be great blessings that will come upon you. There'll be prosperity. There'll be joy in your heart and peace. And things will come to you. You know, the riches of the kingdom are ours. But, you know, if you don't do these things, there's going to be things that will come upon you that you won't like.
Yeah.
And you'll have a hard time in life, and you'll struggle. And you'll feel like you're in the wilderness, going around and around and around. And that's just the simple truth of it. And we've all been there at times. I've been there at times. Let me tell you, I've been there at times. And you don't think I don't know either. When I stop playing games in my mind and I start getting real with God, then I know that I'm playing games, that I'm not real with God. It's getting real with God that makes the difference, because He's looking at what's in your heart. He's looking at the motive, the intent of what's in your heart.
Yes, brother.
Okay, let's look at verse 34. You're right there. Look at 34 real quick. It says, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Now look, there's a real connection here. Understanding. We need to have understanding, okay? It's not enough to just have knowledge about something. You need to understand it. And that's why God says that we need to meditate upon His Word. We need to carefully consider it, because you have to gain an understanding. And the Holy Spirit wants to explain so that you can understand. But you have to get quiet enough, and you have to spend enough time with Him for you to gain that kind of an understanding about things. Okay? "Through study and meditation of the Scripture, the Holy Spirit imparts understanding of knowledge of the Holy One. Keeping and observing God's law is to do what He says." Keeping and observing God's law is to do what He says. What is the real law we're talking about here? We're talking about the law of the Spirit, which is life in Christ Jesus. We're talking about love. The essence of love, because that's who God is. And that's what we're trying to do, is attain to be like Christ, who was the incarnation of the living God. He was the one who came and reflected and showed us a loving Father that loves us and cares about us. And we want to be more like Him. And that's what this is all about. Look at verse 36. 36. "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness." And not to covetousness. What is covetousness? That's wanting things. To always be wanting things. We should want what God wants rather than what we want. Covetousness speaks of worldly desires. Listen, Scripture says, does that mean God doesn't care about what you want? No, that's not true. God cares about what you want. But the Scriptures teach that God knows what you have need of. That you don't need to be concerned about those things that the world would think about as being important, because to God, they don't. A lot of those things are irrelevant. He knows you have need of certain things here on the earth. But it's in trusting Him and learning how to be obedient to Him that will help you in this area, that we need to learn to stay away from covetousness. You know, I was thinking in my mind earlier today about women when they go shopping. A lot of times, you know, this could be true for a man too, but I know with some women, they have a problem with, you know, wanting to buy. And this, don't take this wrong. This isn't my wife, so I don't mean this about my wife, okay? But some women, they just, you know, they get a little bit of money and they want to go out and buy a nice dress. Okay, that's fine once. But, you know, if you're doing it every week or every other week and you don't really have them, you know, here's the issue. It's not about whether you have the money or you don't have the money. It's about whether you should. You know, sometimes we need to stop and ask ourselves, you know, even though we could, should we? You know, there's a difference. And, you know, I myself have had to do that. You know, a lot of people think, you know, you're an aluminum contractor. Man, you got tools. You got all these tools. You know, guys like the tools, you know. We like, you know, when we talk about going to Sears with the Craftsman stuff, you know. But, you know, I got to a point in my life where I went in there and I picked something up because I really, you know, I saw it and I thought, oh man, I got to have one of these. And I looked at it and I said, you know what? Do I need that? And I put it back down. And ever since then, that's the way I behave. You know, I try to behave like that because I feel like, hey, it can be endless. And if you don't learn how to control your flesh in these areas, you're never going to get it. You got to learn. There's a part that we play in all of this, is what I'm trying to say to you, okay? We can pray till we're blue in the face that God incline our hearts towards you, and we need to do that. But God's expecting certain things out of us, certain choices, certain manners of behavior that will help to be able to give a good place for the Holy Spirit to accomplish in us the work of God that He's trying to accomplish. Okay, and it's not just in us because, you know, the stuff we need to do, okay, for Him. But we can only be effective to the degree that we allow God to work in us. Now look over at let's go to verse 58. Go over to 58 real quick. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. Be merciful to me according to your word. Favor and mercy come from abiding in His word. If you abide in my word and my word abides in you, it's the abiding presence of God that comes through spending time in His word. So now what have we done up to this point? I mean, I got more scriptures here, but what have we said up to this point? There, you know, we need to have a pure heart. One of the ways we need to do that, we have to have a whole heart. And how do we do that? We have to spend time with God. We have to spend time in the scriptures. We need to meditate on the word of God. We need to let the word dwell richly in us. We need to spend quality time with Him, and we need to contemplate and consider the Word of God so that we can gain understanding of the Word of God, okay? So that the Holy Spirit can use us. And this is one of the ways that God deals with our hearts. Now, these are things that we do, okay? We spend time in the Word. We spend time meditating, okay? It's things that we choose to do. And these will help us to be able to keep our heart right before God. Look at verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. With my whole heart. Satan very often tries to condemn our hearts with lies, but keeping God's teachings and ways will keep our hearts whole. Think about that. Satan tries to condemn us, condemn our hearts with lies, but keeping God's teachings and ways will keep our hearts whole. Look at verse 111. Skip over to 111. Verse 111. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. The rejoicing of my heart. God's goodness and mercy demonstrated through His word should make your heart glad. God's goodness and mercy that's demonstrated through His word should make your hearts glad. It makes my heart glad. When I spend time with the Lord and I see His word, and I get excited about His word. I get excited about it because I know what He's trying to do. He's trying to show His word to be strong in me. And that's what He's trying to do. You know, it's not enough to just know the word of God in knowledge only. The way you really come to wisdom, and we'll get to that, but the way you grow into wisdom is by taking the understanding that you have and taking a practical application of the Word of God and being a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. And that's how you become a wise man. You grow in the wisdom of God by practicing the Word of God. But you have to start out by having some knowledge and some understanding. And then you need to spend time with the Lord, and your hearts will be glad because of it. Look at verse 112. 112 says, "For I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end." That speaks to me of a purposeful decision of the will to carry out what thus saith the Lord. This verse speaks of the heart's eternal allegiance to God through acts of obedience and discipline to God's word. Not stop a little bit to let you hear and think about what I'm saying, because some of what I wrote down here and saying to you, I believe the Spirit of the Lord had given to me. I'm going to read that once more. It's a purposeful decision of the will to carry out what thus saith the Lord. This verse speaks of the heart's eternal allegiance to God through acts of obedience and discipline to God's word. We need to be steadfast before the Lord. We need to be unshakable and firm in our convictions before God that we're going to do the things that He's asked us to do, no matter how much it hurts our flesh or is inconvenient or causes us to miss our own agenda, because it's the way of the Lord. Whatever God has asked of us, that's what we need to be doing. Look at verse 145. I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. A whole heart is actively obedient to God. Look at 161. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. The heart should highly esteem God's word. The heart should highly esteem God's word. Psalm 84, verse 5 says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." Purposing in our hearts to take a journey with God will strengthen us in Christ. Let's turn over and read together. Let's look at Proverbs. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And let's look at, we're going to read, let's read verses 1 through 13 first. Okay, Proverbs 2, 1 through 13. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as a hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things." Praise God. And then he says, "From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness." And then skip over to verse 20. He says, "So that you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it." Verses 1 and 2 said, "My son, if you receive my words, if you receive my words, you know, and you treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." What did Jesus say? He said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. This is the application of God's word, is how we truly see the evidence of truth. Understanding is revealed as we listen to God's Spirit activating God's word in the mind of our understanding. We become enlightened or illuminated by his wisdom. Let's look at Proverbs. You're in Proverbs. Let's look at chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs. Look at 3 and 4, verses 3 and 4. "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." Let not mercy and truth forsake you. You have a tablet on your heart. You can actually write on your heart. Think about that. Put stuff on your heart. Take note within and become attached strongly to God's ways and his words. Take note and become attached strongly to God's ways and his word. What does it say in verse 5 and verse 6? It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There it is, wholeheartedly again. The whole heart. Unconditional, complete reliance in every situation upon God. Direction comes from God. Unconditional, complete reliance in every situation. And that's a process of learning. You know, I'll just say this to you, and I don't like to admit it, but I'll admit it. You know, there are times when I have a problem and sometimes I don't think about going to God first. If I'm honest, that's what I'll just be honest to you. But I need to learn how to go to God first in every situation. Because that's what he wants us to do. You know, in the little things and in the big things. We need to remind ourselves that we need to go to God with the things that are in our life. Because he wants to be in our life. Now, I'm going to give you a brief definition here that I wrote down about a whole heart. To have a whole heart is to have a heart which is purified by the Holy Spirit as a result of the regeneration or the new birth, and godly understanding, which comes from the working of love as it is generated by obedience to the Word of God. Now, that's a lot. So I'm going to say it all once more and listen close. To have a whole heart is to have a heart which is purified by the Holy Spirit as a result of the new birth and godly understanding, which comes from the working of love as it is generated by obedience to the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "He also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Keep my commands and live.'" There is life in God's word.
Amen.
You know, many times early on Sunday mornings when we're praying, that's one of the things that comes to my mind, and I remind God about that. That God's word's alive. Mm-hmm. It's active.
Yes.
Sharper than any two-edged sword. A rightful discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I think about that. I think about how God's word is alive. God's word, he sends his word to do things. God's word is alive.
Yes.
God's word has purpose and meaning because he sends it and he expects it to do exactly what he sends it to do. And so that's why in my own life, I spend time in the word because I want to be able to know what thus saith the Lord. I want to be able to find myself many times saying things like God would say them. Try to speak like God would speak. You know, be careful about how you speak. I'm learning, and we all should be learning. Okay, being more careful as to how we say things or what we say. But if we spend a lot of time in God's Word, we'll find ourselves being more like Him, speaking things out of the abundance of the heart. If we put more of the Word of God in us, look in Proverbs. You're in Proverbs 4. Look down at verses 20 through 23 here. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Glory to God. So, you know, listen, he's saying we need to do that. We need to be diligent to keep God's word in the midst of our hearts. We need to do it that way, okay? Because out of those, there's going to be issues in life. But you'll have the answers to those issues of life if you have God's word inside of you. We have a responsibility to be diligent concerning our hearts. Life comes from Jesus. His word needs to be abiding in us. It's his abiding presence which sustains us. We can do all things through Christ, but apart from him, we can do nothing of eternal consequence. And you know, you have to think about that. Because you could do certain things on your own. And it might mean something to you personally, and it might mean something to other people around you. But they might not have any eternal consequence to them. So, you know, sometimes we need to get a check on things. We need to think about what we're doing, whether or not it has any eternal consequence to it, whether it really matters or not. Now, I've only got two more things I want to share with you tonight. And this is kind of rare for me because I know we went kind of long last week, but I've got a couple of things here real quick. I want to just give you a quote from Helen Keller. She said, "The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even heard. They must be felt with the heart." And the last thing I want you to look at is I want you to look at Psalm 19. Turn back to Psalm 19. I want us to look at verses 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, even more than fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Now notice that, you know, I'm not going to try to dissect all of this, but you notice that he talks about the law in terms of six words. He talks about it as law, testimony, statutes, commandments, fear of the Lord, and judgments. And then he evaluates them by saying that they're perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. And what do? They rejoice your heart. They enlighten your eyes. They make wise the simple. They convert the soul. They endure forever, and they're righteous altogether. And they're more desirable than even precious gold. And that's where I want to end tonight. I want to end on this note by saying to you that God says that, Jesus says that the pure in heart are going to see God. But to have a pure heart, we need to have a circumcised heart by the Holy Spirit. We need to keep ourselves mindful of the fact that God looks at our hearts and He tests our hearts. And He's constantly shaping us and helping us to make us more into the image of Christ, trying to draw us closer. You know, sometimes I lay in bed and I think about how it must have been with the disciples and when they were with Jesus at night. You know, Brother Dwayne went on a camp out this weekend and I was thinking about it because of that. I used to do a lot of camping, and I was thinking about laying there at the fire, you know, and having some interesting discussions with the Lord. How nice that would have been just to lay there and be able to glean from the Lord, you know, one-on-one, man, you know, face-to-face. You know, last night before I went to sleep, I was watching on TBN. I believe it was TBN. I was watching one of those movies about the Lord. And you know, there was this one spot in the discussion where Peter, you know, came in at night and he was kind of frustrated and stuff. And he, you know, he laid down next to the fire and put his blanket around him. And, you know, and he was frustrated because, you know, he was still having feelings about going back out and being a fisherman, you know. But one of his other disciples said to him, you know the truth. You'll never go back. None of us will ever go back. And the reason we'll never go back is because we know the truth. We know, and we are the first to know. We are the first to know. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and I thought, that is an awesome statement. They were the first to know. They were the first ones. I mean, here's the Son of God, the Messiah. And they were hand-picked. I mean, I don't know if they ever got a grip on that. I mean, it's almost more than you can comprehend. But then at some point, Peter did, because, you know, later on we see where he says, you know, you are the Son of God. You know, he makes the declaration of faith. So, and Jesus said, well, a normal person hasn't revealed that to you. It's been my Father in heaven. But do you really know him? Do you really love him a lot? And if you say you do, you need to spend time in his word. Spend time before him. Discipline the flesh. Do the things you need to do. And, you know, be obedient to do the things God's asked you to do. You know, I want you to think of one last thing here, too, and that is last week. I spent quite a bit of time in Old Testament scriptures, and some of you are thinking probably, you know, well, yeah, but, you know, we're under a new covenant. We're living in under a new covenant. You know, we're under the New Testament, not the Old Testament. Well, yeah, that's true, but Jesus said he didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. And, you know, the matters of the heart have to do with obedience and discipline before God above all things. And that's why over and over and over again in the New Testament, through the New Testament, and in the Psalms and the Proverbs, he talks about being obedient, to do the things he's asked us to do. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the Word of God that dwells richly in our hearts. I pray that tonight as we go to bed, I pray that in dreams and in visions, Lord, you'll speak to us about the Word of God. You'll speak to us about the commitment we made before God. And you'll help us, Lord, to recommit ourselves to being and to do the things that we need to do, Lord, to spend time with you, to come away and go on a pilgrimage with you, to enter into your course of study, Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us the things that are of eternal consequences. And Lord, we do all of these things, not for ourselves personally, but we do that for ourselves, but we do it so that the Spirit can use us
yes.
in the kingdom of God,
yes.
so that we can be effectual in the things that we do for God, with power and with might in the Spirit. Lord, we know that apart from you, we can do nothing, but through you, we can do all things, Lord, that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We can walk in the integrity of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord will be with us if we abide in your word and your word abides in us. Because the Holy Spirit's been sent here to activate the word of God in our lives, to teach us and to lead us into the ways of righteousness,
yes.
to lead us in all into all truth. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you,
Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Now, Lord, I want to thank you before we dismiss from this service tonight. I want to thank you for what you're doing in the church.
Yeah.
In us personally, individually, and corporately. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, we hunger. We have a hunger on the inside
yes.
of us
oh,
to
God.
See a greater move
yes.
of the Spirit
yes.
in our homes and in our lives and in our community.
Yes.
Holy Spirit,
yes.
we ask that you continue to work inside of us that
yes.
which is pleasing to you. Holy
yes.
Spirit, bring about the way of the Lord inside
yes.
of us. Lord, we want to be found to be good and faithful stewards of the things of God.
Yes.
Oh, Father, the only way that's possible is to come away and be with you for a while. Spend time with you. Be in your presence. Father, we thank you for inclining our hearts towards you.
Yes.
And we thank you for this message that you're giving us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good word. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Boy, I enjoy